You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Markaz al-Sahaba.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. 8 minutes after 11 Central African time, you are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and my beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhullah. Just to all the listeners out there, if anybody has any questions, of course, regarding the bliss of marriage, 084-786-3132. You can send a normal SMS message or to the international overseas countries +2 784-786-3132. Before we go cross over to my beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhullah, let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Company, and let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and my engineer, Brother Tobella. Fadilatul Ustad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan walana barakallahu feekum.
Gee, being today the 25th of Dhul Hijjah, 1440, which is also the 27th of August 2019. Ustad, for 3 years, my husband is now unemployed. I supported him, Ustad. I worked like a dog, only to find out that the money I brought home was for him and his lover. Ustad, your advice on this.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we must understand what is the Islamic directives, guidelines, and teachings regarding these type of issues. Number one is this, that the person who's the husband, who's the father, he must be the breadwinner. So now what has happened? 3 years he spent at home. He found it very, very comfortable. He became a parasite and you were working. And now he started looking at his free time and he said that you are gone, so he will enjoy himself. So he got busy with the internet. He got busy with his women. He got busy with whoever else, Allah knows. And you were then giving him the money. So therefore what you need to do is give him ultimatum. Tell him he must pack up and leave that home, and because now you're not going to sleep with him because maybe he's got AIDS or maybe he's got, you know, sexually transmitted diseases, or if he's prepared to go for a test, then he must go for an examination to a doctor of your choice, not his friends and so forth. Second one is this, you must tell him the money you gave him, he must repay you. And till he doesn't get the job, he mustn't come back there. So you have to put your foot down, otherwise he will remain a parasite and make you work. So remember in Islam that this person here needs to be taught a lesson. One is, instead of being grateful to you, he's ungrateful, disloyal, and then he's still got the audacity of sitting at home and doing all the haram things. So that is what you have to put your foot down and give him the ultimatum.
Someone is asking you, Ustad, that how do you deal with a spouse who constantly lies and is an embarrassment, respected Mufti Saab?
You see, the problem always is 2-3 things. When we select our spouse, then normally, I'm speaking generally, normally we just look at the car they drive, what is their income, they got a stable job. Hardly you will find people worried or probing or asking questions regarding the person's character or his salat or his belief structure. Does he belong to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah? All this, it will be last on the categories, you understand, that people want to find out. Whereas in Islam, that's supposed to be right on top. The one to the first 2-3 things you should be finding out is that. So if this person had taqwa, piety, society, if that person had good, noble character, he should not be doing this. This is a sign of munafiqeen and hypocrites. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, ayatul munafiqi thalas, the signs of the munafiq, the hypocrites, are three. Idha haddatha kadab, when they speak lies. Wa idha wa'ada akhlaf, and when they promise, then they break their promises. They got no intention of fulfilling and honoring their promise. Wa idha tumina khan, and when you are giving them amanat, then they make khiyanat, they commit breach of trust. So you tell them to work these hours, they'll take their wages, but they won't work that hours. So things like that are also khiyanat. So what we should be doing is that we should now ask this person, you lie so much that night has become your second nature, and now you don't even realize that you are lying. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, when a person lies, such a stench and bad odor comes out from that person's mouth that the malaika, they also run away 1 mile and so forth. So remember, la'natullah al-kadhibin, Allah's curse is on people who lie like that. So you have to start ta'aleem in your house, start with the fadail works of Hazrat Shaykh, Hazrat Muhammad Zakariya, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, Riyadhus Salihin, Allama Nawawi. Create some environment of Islam in your house. Otherwise, remember people like this, for them to change is very, very difficult. And definitely your marriage will be based on a lie also. You will find so much disloyalty, you will find so much betrayal, all the because he's lying all the time or most of the time. So you need to have a heart-to-heart chat and create and bring about and establish that dini and Islamic environment in your home. And obviously dua is very, very effective and powerful.
Ustaz, somebody is asking a question. Yeah, this is from overseas. Of course, it's not regarding the bliss of marriage. But I'm going to pose a question because the question came on 084. He says here, respected Mufti Sahab, is the jihad in Sham a true jihad? Is it permissible to join the group Jabal Fath Sham, which is part of the conglomerate of groups called Tahiru Sham? This is from Leicester. Ustad.
You must remember, my brother, I would not advise you to join anybody of them, because they in Sham today, remember, there are so many groupings. Some of them will tell you they are Ahlu Sunnah, but that government or this government. Remember today what is happening in Kashmir, what is happening in Syria, what is happening in Palestine and so forth. We will not advise anybody to leave his wife and children and just go there and so forth. You just become cannon fodder. Then your family has so many problems, and then sometime they will not allow you to come back and all this type of thing. The easiest way for us as Muslims, we all know that these governments are now practicing open terrorism. So you see in Palestine, how they demolish the homes of the Palestinians. This is that, you know, the settlers. So since when the settlers are the people who are the rightful owners? So this is the hypocrisy of the apartheid regime of Israel. So there you go to Syria, the Kafir Shias, the Alawis are there. So you must remember that they take advantage of the Sunnis, and again the Sunnis are under attack there and so forth. So you know that Bashar Assad and his cronies, they are 100% Shia, and this is what they are doing. Then you go to Kashmir, again the Sunnis. I've got the clip now, a cutting. You must remember some of the Shias, they have joined, you must remember, Modi and his government, the BJP. So this is, if you study the history of Shia from day one, the day they were born, till now, always you will find khiyanat, treachery, double standards. So they have a very, very sweet tongue. I told one alim in the weekend, yeah, I've been to Iran and I studied the Shias. Ahla min al-asal. You must remember, when they speak, then they are sweeter than honey. But behind your back, they'll make every effort to destroy you. So you must remember this here. They are the elephant in the room, Garkachur. So they, the Jews, the Shias, so all, and the Hindus, Mushrikeen, idol worshippers, all our enemies, remember that. And now it's become manifest. You can see Netanyahu, la'anahullah, remember, because he wants re-election. So make more zulam, oppression on the Palestinians. Then Modi got, now he won the elections, so he feels nobody can stop him. And there the Shias, remember, they got Iran backing and what have you. So they feel they can do whatever they want to. So all of them are our enemies. But you want to go and participate, your government will not allow you. If something happens to you, your family, your children will become a target. So our jihad is that we make dua. We cry to Allah, Allahumma alayka bil yahudi zalimin, alayka bil shia wa man walahum, Allahumma alayka bil mushrikeen wa man walahum. Ya Allah, all these mushrikeen and Hindus who are causing this harm there in Kashmir, all these Jews who are there and Zionists there in the land of Palestine, occupied Palestine, all these Shias and all of them who are causing so much harm, you destroy and decimate them and give victory to the Muslim and the oppressed. Give charity, help them, humanitarian works and so way. But if you're going to go there, you create a bigger fitna problem for yourself than going to assist. So therefore my advice will be that you should not be going there.
19 minutes after 11, we go to an anonymous sister, respected Mufti Saab. It says here, can a man marry a woman he made pregnant whilst she is pregnant? Ustad.
So why? You made her double pregnant or what? So you must remember this. So the question itself is absurd in all these type of things. If a lady was pregnant, so you must remember now she was impregnated by ABC. So now you slept with her, all that meaning you committed adultery. So for both of you is a death penalty Islamically. There's no something that you made her pregnant again. So there's no such thing as half pregnant and three quarter pregnant in Islam. So in a case like that, both of you are guilty and the death penalty applies. Now we have to sift out. So if that husband, so he found out all about this and he divorces her, so he's got all the right to do so. If he wants to forgive her and he says that he will take care of her and the child will belong to him, so that husband there. You must be punished and you must go out of the picture. And if you say that you want to marry her, then remember that the husband must divorce her. And then after the delivery of the baby, so this baby here will be a haram child. The lineage will go to the mother. And then after the delivery of the baby, you can marry her. But remember, in a true Islamic state and country where there's Islamic Sharia, you and that poor lady there, the lady 100% will get capital punishment, death penalty. You, if you are married, for you also death penalty. And if you're not married, fornication, 100 lashes in public. So don't think that what you all did is something very good. It's a heinous, heinous crime.
Ustad, this message coming now on my phone. It says, Mufti Saab, I am a heartbroken father from India. My son-in-law and my daughter were quarreling. He then took acid and threw it on my Piare daughter's face. Now she is in hospital, Mufti Saab. Her face is ruined. And that Batamis is free. What is the Sharia ruling on this? Urgently, anonymous father, Ustad, from India.
We don't know where this happened. If it happened in India, it happened in South Africa, it happened somewhere else. Obviously, if it is true that your son-in-law did this, so remember, Islamically, he will be punished very, very severely in India. He will be punished very, very severely. And in Islam, for this we have wal juru haqisas. So he will have to pay for all the medication. He will have to pay for the reconstruction. And he will be punished. He will be put into jail. He can be lashed. And so many things can happen to him. Because willfully, deliberately, intentionally, that he wanted to destroy her. And he wanted to remove her beauty and so forth. So all this, he, for his actions, he has to take the consequences. So my meri nasihat aapke liye, aap adalat mein jai aur unke khilaf muqaddama kare ke is badtameez aur badbakht ne aapki saladi ke saath, aapki sahibzadi ke saath ye harkatein ki, to aapko bilkul haq hai ke isko jail mein jai aur jitna bhi kharcha hai hospital ka, clinic ka, wo isko bardasht kare aur ada kare. So whatever I said in Urdu now is the same thing basically in English. He is responsible for all the medical bills and he must take the matter to the police, to the court, and you must charge him. You can't be leaving him just like this. One is that he's the zalim and now he's running around, roaming around free, and the daughter is fighting for her life basically. So remember, you have to take action in cases like this.
Mufti, my husband and I are fighting a lot also. But I also think that Shaitan is interfering with us. Is there any du'as we can both read not to fight, Ustad?
The biggest du'a is, sister, you, the wife I'm addressing. Remember that you must keep quiet. When your husband blows his fuses and he screams and he shouts, just keep quiet. Then after 1 hour, 1 day, 2 days, then when he's sober and he's out of his anger, he will try and butter you up. He will try and curry favor with you. He will try and, you know, tell you, oh, darling, let's share the bed. So that's the time, Mokai Shanasi and Mardam Shanasi. You must do it for the opportunity and you must see to who you're speaking. So when you're alone with him, then you must tell him, see, you did this wrong, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. Now you have to make talafi. You have to compensate for that. So he will say 100%. So what you say? You want the dress, you want shoes, you want this, you want that. Inshallah, that is what he will do. But you also blow your top the whole time and the husband gets mad also. So advice for you, husband, when the wife is making a lot of noise and just now all the neighbors and everybody will hear that this is what's going on, you become the laughing stock there in that flats or in that houses there. So you must just leave the house, go sit in a masjid, go read namaz, go read Quran, go to your job, to your shop, wherever. So then, mamla thanda ho jayega. Now the problem with both of y'all is that you saying one, then he says two. You say four, he'll say five. And you're just going for one another. So the shaitan is there. يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِ. The shaitan's aim, the Quran Sharif states, is to cause separation, divorce between husband and wife. So therefore, read abundantly, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O Almighty Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Read, ya, the names of Almighty Allah, and read, ya, wadu. Ya Wadud. Ya Allah, you are the Khalik, the creator of love. Ya Allah, unite our hearts. Marriage is not bedroom and bathroom only. The hearts have to be united and then you go in the same direction. Otherwise, you're going to go opposite direction. There will always be conflict and tension. So these are the advices Quran and Sunnah teaches us.
Ustad, we go to Mayfair West. It says here, Mufti Sab, I am a Dadima already. I'm Buddha and I'm old. Dadima. She says, Mufti Sab, this is for my son-in-law, that he is never ever ready to take my daughter out on 3 days, saying that she's now using niqab. Now she says, Dadima says here, Ustad, that niqab doesn't turn her to a cripple. She can still go out. What does he do, Ustad?
No, he's just using that as an excuse. The problem is not your daughter or your granddaughter, Kala na Dadima. The problem is with him. He feels that day, wherever you are in Johannesburg or Mayfair or wherever, that Crosby or wherever, so that when he goes out with your daughter, granddaughter, people will look at that one there, that she's in niqab and she's again dressed like this and that. So he himself is feeling ashamed of the niqab. He himself is looking down upon the parda and so forth. So what you need to do is make him a proper Muslim first. And he is a Muslim, but now he's suffering from being an apologetic Muslim. That he wants that, no, that I'll take you out if you remove the niqab. I'll take you out if you remove and discard the parda, just like the non-Muslims. So this is apologetic Muslims, munafiq Muslim, hypocrites. So you need to start ta'aleem in your house. You start to make dua and so forth. The marriage seems to be okay, but now the niqab has become a point of conflict and tension and controversy. We had a lady has to wear niqab. Surah 33 verse 59, Almighty Allah speaks of parda. And remember Surah 24, Surah Nur verse 31. So all this you will find in Quran and Sunnah Mubarakah. We don't have to grovel at the feet of the non-Muslim and curry favor with them. We are Muslims. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he came to Palestine, where there's so much problem today, but they can never erase all this history of ours. Sayyidina Umar, when he delivered the khutbah there, before the conquest, remember that, and the giving of the keys and so forth, he said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ عَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a people Allah gave us honor because of Islam. Islam. Not we gave Islam honor, Islam gave us honor. وَمَهْمَا نَتْلُبُ غَيْرَهُ لَأَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. And any other ism we seek, you see the Muslim countries today, Arab countries today, majority of them, they want to keep Islam on the margin. They want to mimic and imitate the non-Muslim culture because they themselves suffer from the inferiority complex. So therefore, you find the zillat, disgrace, humiliation. So that is what's happening there. So your daughter, granddaughter is no problem. The problem is him. He's feeling too ashamed to walk with her in public. So that is where the problem lies.
Ustaz, we go to a student of Deen. This is also from Vanderbilt Park. She says, respected Mufti Saab, my husband is a very, very short, hot temper person. And he always shouts me, Mufti Saab, regarding visitors. He wants me to make khidmat in front of the visitors to come to the lounge and make khidmat. And Mufti Saab, I'm a student of Deen. I am full in niqab. He quoted the hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wives also made khidmat for the visitors and they appeared in front. Ustad, please help me, guide me on this.
You must remember that tell him he loves selective quoting. Didn't the Quran Karim state, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاءً فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. So what is he talking about? So you must remember he's trying to lower the rank. Allah forbid of the honorable wives of Nabi alayhi salam, of honorable mothers, for his own agenda. So you must remember this, that how come you married such a fasik fajir who wants you to come and serve strange men? So where is his haya and shame and modesty? So you need to make a lot of dua, start ta'aleem in your house, that Ya Allah, this person, yeah, let him first get the correct belief, the correct understanding. Therefore, Quran says, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. There are million, billion Muslim, but very few got تَفَقُّه فِي الدِّينِ, the deep, profound, proper understanding of deen. See this person here. So what he did, he took one hadith and he wants to use it. You must remember his own selfish desires. And in the process, he wants to demolish the haya, shame of his wife. He wants to relegate the rank status of the honorable wives of Nabi alayhi salam. All this for his own whims and fancies. That is the meaning of dhallu wa adhallu. When you yourself are astray and you lead others astray, you must never listen to him. Just make dua, tahajjud time and so forth. You must remember, tell him what Quran says. Mata anfasaluhunna miu warai hijab. So you must remember the way he's saying that every day somebody was coming to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every time the azwaj mutahharat are just going in front of everybody. Do you think our own mothers and sisters will not do this? And you telling us, Allah forbid, you can lose your iman when you speak like that.
Allahu Akbar. Ustaz, beautiful answer. I love you, Ustaz, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us go for one more question, Ustaz. Somebody wants to know, Mufti Saab, in the month of Muharram, inshallah, I will be getting married. Should we make nikah in the month of Muharram? Yes or no, Ustaz?
Remember to have nikah during the month of Muharram, to have walima during the month of Muharram, all that absolutely, totally permissible. We belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Shia who are non-Muslims, Allah's curse be upon them. So they are people who swear and abuse and curse Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. So therefore, Almighty Allah made salbul aql. Allah Ta'ala took their common sense away. You know, we just returned from Hajj. So in my talks, I would tell them, you will see the Shias, that they go in buses, and the buses don't have the rooftop. They got Maulana Arafat topless buses.
Allah.
Yes. So the people thought I was joking. So after the Hajj, we saw these buses without the top. You understand? I said, that are the Shias. Akal nijye, you understand? The brains are not in the proper place. So you must remember that. So everything they will do upside down. So remember that in Islam, they want to come and say, because of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu an, so therefore you are not allowed to get married, you can't have walima. All these are fairy tales, concoctions and fabrications, and Almighty Allah has cursed them. فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. When a person mocks and belittles the Sahaba, Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 79, Allah mocks you. You will never get the true understanding of deen. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And for such people, they'll end up in Jahannam, the hellfire forever. So imagine, this is exactly what you are seeing.
28 minutes to 12. Just give me one more question, Brother Tobel. It's an urgent question. This is from overseas. One more question. It says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, respected Mufti Saab? I am a boy of mature age intending on getting married, inshallah. I would please like to know if I have my parents' permission and we are all happy with the girl of my choice. Am I able to go ahead and make nikah without my parents actually being there? The girl's parents will be there, Ustad. However, in saying this, I will have other family members there, inshallah. Example, dad's mom's brother or my immediate grandfather. The reason for this question, Ustad, is that I currently live overseas, Ustad.
Yes, you are happy, your parents are happy, and the girl's party, she's happy, her parents happy. So make bismillah, what you waiting for? Start 1441, mashallah, marital life, brother. So wonderful, do not delay. All parties are happy. If your parents, because of visa, passport regulations, they're not present, no problem. So you must remember that you get married as soon as possible. Just go to your mother, father, before you go for your nikah. Cry by them and kiss their hands and say, oh Abi, oh Ummi, make special dua, it's my special day, and you make dua although you are not physically there. So it's fine, no problem, absolutely. And you tell the girls' party, no delaying, a tasweefu min ash-shaytan. To procrastinate and delay is from shaytan. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, ya ma'ashar al-shabab man istata'a minkumul ba'da falitazawwaj. So when you are fixed up, you know everything. So make haste in it. In Islam, we cannot procrastinate and delay regarding marriage, because then the shaitan will come, send WhatsApps and SMS, then this and this. So all the satanic things will come. So do it the halal way, the proper way, and that is get married as soon as possible. Now in Muharram, get married, mashallah.
25 minutes to 12. We go, inshallah, for a quick ad break. When we come back, inshallah, listeners of Sirius FM, listeners of Markaz Sahaba, don't go away. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Markaz Sahaba.
23 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning, part one, the bliss of marriage, with myself and my beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhullah. Somebody wants to know, ya Ustad, that it says, I have recently gotten married. I want to know if I am able to perform in Jamaat with my wife, with me as the Imam. And if so, Ustad, how far behind me must she stand, and does it work as a normal Jamaat Salah? Anonymous, Ustad.
My brother, when you recently married, you're supposed to do this on Laylatul Zifaf, your wedding night. So remember the hadith in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, and this is a sunnah. When the couple are married, now that first night when they're alone in privacy, then husband in front, and then the wife not on the side, but behind the husband. It's like you put two musallas, one in front, one at the back. So she will be behind you. You the leader and she's following you. You will give the iqamat and you will make the jamaat. So that is for the wedding night. But now it seems you want to stretch it very far, my brother. You don't want to go to the masjid. So in Islam, the men must go to the masjid and the women must read salat at home. Yes, if it happens occasionally that you are recently very married and so forth, so now, mashallah, you're very busy with your nocturnal gymnastics and your nocturnal activities. So now, by the time you took a bath and everything, so what happened? Fajr time, the salat finished. So in that case, you made jamaat with your wife. So that's fine. Once in a month, once in 6 months, once in the... But every day you make? No, not permissible. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. See what Quran Kareem teaches us. They are a people, they are father, they are forefathers, were pious people. And then they left behind them خَلْفٌ, people who are unworthy successors. See the beauty, glory, style of the Arabic language. The word used خلفون. خلفون unworthy. خلفون, so that will mean worthy. Surah Maryam chapter 19 verse 59. So what they did, adha'u salat, they squandering their salat and they following the desires. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala who said, the squandering salat and following desires are those people, the men who read salat at home. They don't want to go to the masjid. That's a proper sign of munafiqeen and hypocrites. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Soon they will land up in ghay. Do you know what is ghay, my brother? The other parts of Jahannam and the hellfire, they seek Allah's protection from ghay. The worst of the worst portion in Jahannam. So that people there. So you don't want to go there, we all want to go Jannah. So once in 6 months, once a year, twice a year, that's different. Or you musafir, you're traveling at the airport, and that's different. But now at home, daily, no. So that was for your wedding night. That's not now every second day, every week this happens. So that is not permissible. And I gave you the ayat, Surah 19, Surah Maryam, verse 59.
Ustad, an anonymous sister wants to know, of course I'm going to cut it into short. She says that my husband quoted a hadith that a woman who does not or who passes away without not listening to the husband, there's no jannat, no guaranteed jannat for her. And she says, I was told by my husband that to pierce all over my body. I did pierce my lips and my tongue, not knowing Ustad, after when I went for talim and I lifted up my niqab, quoting a hadith, and all the ladies guided me on this, Ustad. So this is wants to know, do I go against my husband or not, Ustad?
As a Muslim, our first and foremost allegiance is to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Thereafter, our allegiance is to Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then to our parents and the husband or wife and family and children. So what your husband is doing is telling you all the haram things to do. He's telling you to pierce yourself here and there. Almighty Allah teaches us Surah 4. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us in Surah Nisa, Surah 4, verse 119, that when the shaitan was expelled, so what did he do? He took various oaths, that is the shaitan, and he said, remember, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I will command them, the shaitan said, and they will change the creation of Almighty Allah. So that is what he is doing. So Allah's curse is on him and on you, although you are making tawbah because it seems you did all this out of ignorance. But remember, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. So you must never listen to him when that his request or command is violating the laws of Almighty Allah or that of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Surah 4 verse 119. Second one, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam elaborated on this and said the hadith in Mishkat Sharif Mustafa Ahmad, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience to any creation, whether it's father, mother, husband, wife, or whoever, teacher, or sheikh, whatever, when it leads to a sin against the creator. So this is exactly what happened. So now no more piercing business and all that. So he'll tell you, pierce your back, pierce this, by the time you'll have no body left, you'll just have more holes there inside. So you must remember that in a case like that. So you tell him, no, that Surah 4 verse 119, this is the ploy and the plan of shaitan. And then you will join Hizbu Shaitan like the Shias. So Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi used to say that this Hizbullah in Lebanon are not Hizbullah, they're Hizbu Shaitan, and 100% right. So you must remember you will join them and the Hizbu Shaitan, Quran says. And once you join Hizbu Shaitan, you'll end up in Jahannam forever. So the point here is this, that our obedience, allegiance first to Almighty Allah, then to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then to Sahaba and all of that. Then we come, remember, to our children, our family, and so forth. And that also, when we are obeying them or carrying out their requests or demands, it must not be encroaching and violating the Sharia. So that is of paramount importance.
Ustad, I want to read the question out. This is anonymous, all the way from Durban. It says, okay, well, at the end it says, please help me desperately trying to save my marriage to the one I love so much. Mufti Saab, I'm a new Muslim convert. My husband and I have tried the IVF twice and we lost both times. Now the doctors have said the only options we have is a egg donor, and I'm sure you will say it's wrong, Mufti Saab, but my concern is my marriage also, Ustad. I know he can marry another wife, but he can't afford it, so I guess he can divorce me on these reasons, Ustad.
Remember, it is not an off-on button that you can just say you have children and so forth. Almighty Allah has mentioned all this in the noble Quran. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ ذُكُورٌ. Some people, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala gives them sons as a gift, as a present. Some people, Allah Ta'ala gives them daughters, inatha. Some people, Almighty Allah blesses them, yuzawwijuhum dhukrana wa inatha, sons and daughters. And some people, wa yaj'alu may yashaa'u aqima. And Almighty Allah makes some people barren. They don't have children. I married so many years, we don't have children. So we as Muslim, we believe in the Quran Sharif. We believe from the bottom of our heart in the teachings of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Surah 42, Surah to Shura, and verse number 50. So 50. So Almighty Allah has mentioned this. So each one of us should know that whatever Almighty Allah has decreed, that is what will happen. So you must tell your husband that you tried, you're not going to do haram things, take somebody else's sperm and semen and all that. That is akin to adultery and absolutely haram and so forth. So therefore, you must be, tell him he must be happy with whatever the judgment is of Almighty Allah. And that is the true iman. Show him chapter 42, Surah to Shura consultation, and verses number 49 and 50. And that is in the 25th juz, the 25th supara of the noble Quran.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad Anonymous, he says that, is it true there's a saying that they say that the month of Muharram, it is the month of sadness? And the person wants to know, Ustad, they say that we should only wear the color black. Is this true or not, Ustad?
All this is propaganda of the Shias. One thing I will tell you about the Shias, their propaganda is a very, very powerful medium and machine they have. So from young, let's take my life, take your life, Mahan Arafat. You will find, I'm giving you 2-3 easy examples. Never mind them, in our madrasas, you look at, which are run by ulama, you will find when I came to Lens, I looked at certain things people brought to my notice. So, and I think they changed it. So you will find in our madrasas is written, Qiyamah will occur on 10th Muharram. So yes, Qiyamah will occur on a Friday. Which Friday? Only Allah knows. But the Shia, they put 10th Muharram, you see. And now that we, the Sunnis, we swallowed it hook, line and sinker. So we need to eradicate all this propaganda of the Shias and give the true narrative, the true belief of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That's one example. Second example, that the Shias will tell you when Muharram start, then you must just wear black clothes and so forth. Now just go further. What are they doing? They're taking the rank of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu an and making him from one a dimension, one perspective, even greater than Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shia won't tell you, you must do this in Rabiul Awwal, that for the first 12 days or so, you must wear black clothes and all that. But for Muharram, you must do it. So we say we don't do it in Muharram, we don't do it in Rabiul Awwal, but I'm trying to show you the message they are trying to put across. So we must believe as Sunnis, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the greatest martyr and shaheed for all times, all places was who? Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu. The authentic hadith, Sayyidu Shuhada, is mentioned in Mustadrak Hakim. So, but the Shias will tell you the greatest martyr is Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. You see how they play the mind game. And remember, they will tell you that Islam zinda hota hai har Karbala ke baad. That Islam will be revived after Karbala. So meaning only Karbala must get importance. The martyrdom of Sayyidina Usman, the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hamza, the martyrdom of Sayyidina Umar. So all that is on the margin. They don't mean anything. They say they're not even Muslim for Sayyidina Umar and all of them. But remember, this is the propaganda of Shias. So they will tell you that you must read Fatima ki kahani. You must read about Sayyida Fatima's story. Then you come to the children. Then you come to the martyrdom. So to read the correct material is good. But not only in Muharram, any time of the year. So this is how they play the mind games. Remember that. So to say that the people must wear black clothes and so forth. Did Islam not teach us about sabr? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam demise took place. That was a greater calamity, occasion for the ummah compared to Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. But nobody told the Sahaba they must wear black clothes. Every year they must go and hit themselves. And all this is because Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Hussein's children, like Hazrat Zainul Abideen rahimahullah, like Hazrat Fatima Sughra, they all cursed the Shias. And therefore today they are hitting themselves and so forth.
Allahu Akbar. 9 minutes to 12. I see my very good friend Luqman saying then move this up. What is the proper belief? And then give us also reference, Brother Luqman. Who martyred Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ustad?
Remember that when you want to speak academically, and if I give you our sources, what my Ustad wrote, or what our teachers wrote, or what our Sunnis wrote, you can say I'm being prejudiced and biased. So I'm giving you 4 incidents. The question, my brother Luqman, and you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, let us use their Shia sources. And not one Shia till today has refuted it. They accepted it, and now they are in a tangle. They do not know how to come out of it. Like I always tell them, just to give you one example. I tell you, Khomeini is kafir out of the fold of Islam. On one masla, I can give 100, but we just give one. In his work, Tawdihul Masail, he wrote that Khomeini writes, you can make mut'ah for 1 hour. So 9 o'clock, you pay the lady $50, 50 rupees, 50 rand, or whatever you agree on. You use her, you abuse her, she go her way, you go your way, it's permissible. That's what Khomeini wrote. So you must remember prostitution promoted by them. So when people make zina halal, what you call such people? So what you call them? Non-Muslim, there's no other way to call them. There's one example, otherwise you can give so many others. Now let us go. I gave you the reference of that one here. Now let's go. I'm breaking it up into 4 parts. So you listen carefully, Brother Luqman and all the esteemed listeners. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam demise took place in the 11th year of the Hijrah. The month was Rabiul Awwal. It was Monday 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Let's go forward approximately 50 years. It is Friday, Jumu'ah. It is Ashura, 10th of Muharram. And it is the year 61 after Hijrah. So 50 years, 11th year to 61 year approximately. And then we see that the place is Karbala. I've been to Karbala. So in the year 2000 in Iraq. So you must remember, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu is seeing how his family, his extended family, the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam are being martyred. Then he made dua. And if you open the book, you will find the book's name is Al-Irshad. And the author is Sheikh Mufid. All these are Shia books, Shia authors. I'm reading the text from their book. By heart I'm reading. Inna al-Imam Hussein alayhi salatu salam da'a ala shi'atihi. Nabi Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grandson. And he made dua against the Shias, cursing them. Allahumma in mattatum ilaheen. O Allah, if you give them life, fafarriqhum firaqa. So Ya Allah, made them into many, many splinter groups. وَلَا تَرُضَ الْوُلَاتُ عَنْهُمْ أَبَدًا. Ya Allah, never let the rulers, leaders be happy with them. Ya Allah, they said they coming to me, لِيَنْصُرُونَا, to help us and assist us. فَقَتَلُونَا, they murdering our people and martyring them. Who is saying this? Oh, Shia, refute this and say I'm lying. It's in your book, your author, everything. Sayyidina Hussein cursed you, the Shia, before his martyrdom. What you say about that? Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu is martyred. Everything happens. The Ummah is weeping and crying. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's beloved son is Zainul Abideen. You Shias, you say Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Zainul Abideen. You say he is the fourth Imam. He is an eyewitness. He's the son of Sayyidina Hussein and an eyewitness to what occurred in Karbala. He addresses the Shia, Ya Ahl al-Kufa, O you Shias, what you did? أَخَذْتُمُ الْأَهْدَ وَالْمِيثَاقِ, you took a pledge, you took a covenant from my beloved father. ثُمَّ تَرَكْتُمُ فَخَذَلْتُمُ, then you left him and you forsook him and you left him to get martyred. See, Hazrat Zainul Abideen is asking the Shias a question. After the martyrdom of his beloved father, بِأَيِّ عَيْنٍ تَنْظُرُونَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, how, with which eyes will you look and face Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam on day of justice? وَهُوَ يَقُولُ لَكُمْ, and Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam will tell you, Shias, قَاتَلْتُمْ إِتْرَتِي, you murdered my Nawasa, you murdered and you killed my Sibtu Rasulillah, my beloved Hussein radiallahu anhu, you murdered him. وَانْتَهَكْتُمْ حُرْمَتِي, we are the family of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our rank is so sublime and exalted, you desecrated our rank and status. The fatwa which Zainul Abideen rahimahullah is mentioning, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam will tell them, فَلَسْتُمْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي, you don't belong to this ummah, you out, you belong with the Jews, Christians, Hindus and non-Muslims. So see, did we say this? No. Your book Al-Ihtijaj and the author Tabarasi, we have all this here, we can show it to you anytime. Third one, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu's beloved daughter, Fatima Sughra. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's father, Sayyidina Ali. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's mother, Sayyida Fatima al-Kubra. She's the senior one. She's the one, Fatima to Sayyida to Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, the leader of the women in Jannah. So this is Sayyidina Hussein's daughter, the younger one, so Sughra. After she saw her father's martyrdom, she said, Ya Ahl al-Makr wal-Khuyala, O you arrogant people, O you people of deception, O Kufa, O Shias, Tabballakum wa la'anatullahi alaykum, Allah decimate and destroy you. Allah Ta'ala's curse be upon you. Qataltum abi kama qataltum jaddi bil ams. Said, my father, you murdered him today, as you murdered my dada, my grandfather, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Chronologically, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu martyred in 61 after Hijrah, and Sayyidina Ali martyred in 40. So she made the claim, and what the Shia kambakh badbakh la'anahumullah said, the shaitans, they read poetry. It's all in your book. Al-Ihtijaj by Tabarasi. They said, yes, قَتَلْنَا عَلِيًا وَبَنِي عَلِي بِسُيُوفٍ هِنْدِيَةٍ وَرِمَاحِ. They read poetry. And they said, yes, we murdered Sayyidina Ali. Yes, we murdered Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. And we used the swords and the spears made in India. Al-Ihtijaj by Tabarasi. I spoke of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu warda. I spoke of Hazrat Zainul Abideen rahimahullah. We spoke of Hazrat Fatima Sughra rahimahullah. Now we speak of Sayyidina Hussein's sister, the daughter of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Her name Zainab al-Kubra. She is an eyewitness to Karbala. And she says, Ya Ahl al-Kufa, you are the people who are treacherous. For what you did, that you remove our niqab, you remove our parda, and you desecrated the rank of the family of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. And she cursed them. Go open the Shia book, Mawaqifu Shia. So all this you will find, remember, written in the Shia books. Everybody who was there cursing them, and today what you see is the curse of Sayyidina Hussein and his beloved children and his honorable sister on the Shia. So therefore we say Islam and Muslims got nothing to do with Shia, and Shias got nothing to do with us, and that is the narrative of Karbala. Don't fall for the propaganda of the Shias. Allah, I'm giving Allah. You from their sources.
Allahu Akbar, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. 1 minute to 12 o'clock. Dr. Saab wants the podcast of this, and he says, where will I get it? Al-Ihtijaj by Tabarasi. Ustad.
You will get it on the internet. Today the Shias have put all their books on the internet, and just tell your alim there, he must read for you from the books of the Shias, and you will find pages and pages written of the treachery of the Shias against Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu an, and the family of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu an. But today they want to blame the Sunnis for their crime. It's like the Jews, you know, they steal, occupy our land, everything. You ask them why you do this, they will tell you there are 20 Muslim countries around us, Arab countries, this, that, and we are one Jewish country, so we can do this. So see how they lie. Peace process, P-E-A-C-E, but they steal more and more pieces of land of the Palestinians in the West Bank and so forth. So Allah's curse is on them. Shias and Jews are same as far as we're concerned.
So just before you go quickly, I know it's the 12 o'clock news. I see Brother Luqman says he heard about Imam Ali, he heard about Imam Hussein. He says he never heard of Imam Zainul Abidin. He wants to know, what are the Shias actually saying about Imam Zainul Abidin, Ustad?
Zainul Abidin, they say, is the fourth Imam, and he is cursing them. So that is what's it. Okay, finish.
All right, we're going to love and leave you. I see Ustad is firing from all cylinders. You want the podcast? Just contact Brother Tobella, inshallah. Ustad, next update, what's on next hour?
Inshallah, 12 to 1 will be Brother Alphus, and then 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, 5 past 1 to half past 1 will be our Tafsir, Surah Mursalat, half past 1 to 2, inshallah, will be from our archive, Surah Bani Israel. 2 to 4 will be Sheikh Zakaria, inshallah, in the mercy of Allah, ma Allah. And 4 o'clock, Azan till Maghrib time, inshallah, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub. And thereafter, inshallah, we will have our brother Alameen Templeton. Then first we will have 6 to 7, inshallah, Mawlana Yunus Patel and my tafsir, the repeat. 7 to 8, we will have brother Alameen Templeton, business matters. And then 8 to 9, inshallah, tonight is Tuesday. So Mawlana Katrada, inshallah, Mawlana Bilal Katrada, with Tech Talk. Inshallah. So wonderful lineup, make dua for us.
Well, that's time's up. It brings to the end of our Bliss of Marriage. I will see you people, inshallah, tomorrow morning on our program, Safina to Ilal Jannah.